Welcome to a special all-access edition of the ProWrestling.net 205 Live audio recap. I'm your host, my name is Zach Zimmerman. Today we're going to be going through the show from May 9th, 2017, taped at the O2 Arena in London, England. Just kind of a brief little announcement off the top. This is my final coverage of 205 Live. Next week I'm going to be returning to my post covering NXT, as I have pretty much the whole time for the last maybe like 4 years here at ProWrestling.net, just because of a school schedule change this past semester. I was not able to cover the show on Wednesday nights, but that is changing back, and so I will now be able to. And God, I cannot get away from 205 Live fast enough, for reasons which I will get into throughout the show and at the end of this show. But first, let me take a moment just to tell you about ProWrestling.net, because it's pretty great. We've got, obviously, if you're listening to this, you are familiar with ProWrestling.net. Head over to the main page. At the top of the page, you will see a membership info link. Click on that. It's got all of the information that you could need. ProWrestling.net membership includes ad-free access to the website, access to the members' forums, and perhaps the most importantly, access to the members' audios. We give you guys a pretty decent little sampling of our audio shows here on the all-access side. You know, Jason gives you his daily audios, and you get the occasional taste of me or Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett or Hayden Gleed or John Moore. But on the member side, they are getting everything every week without hesitation, without question. Getting audio reviews of all the major wrestling television shows, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, 205, Ring of Honor, Impact. I believe for a while we have some Progress coverage going on. I mean, we got all sorts of stuff. And then, of course, we have, you know, the head honcho, Jason Powell's, putting out new content as far as audio shows, both with his daily audio shows and his weekly audio shows, including this question and answer audio shows that he does every week, as well as the flagship broadcast ProWrestling.net Weekly, which is where Jason Powell and a guest of his choosing get together for an hour or two, just discuss all the major news and events in wrestling in the week that was. It's always a great time, always a great listen, and definitely worth the price of membership alone. So like I said, ProWrestling.net, you'll see the membership info link at the top of the page, and you kind of can't go wrong from there. With that said, let's jump into the May 9th edition of 205 Live, and, well, frankly, let's get through it, because the quicker I get through this, the quicker I get back to NXT. The show was not, I guess, bad. It's just par for the course with 205 Live. The show really kind of just lacks an identity of its own. None of the storylines are compelling. None of the wrestlers are compelling. I'll get kind of more into this when I get bigger picture at the end of this audio, but yeah, let's just jump right in. We got a video package which recaps some stuff from last week and from Raw between TJP, Jack Gallagher, and Austin Aries, where TJP attacked Jack Gallagher after the match on Raw, I believe, and then Neville beat him down, and then Aries came out for the save, yada yada. We got the opening video, and we came inside the arena. Pyro went off, commentary team checked in, and Jack Gallagher made his music in jacket and slacks to open the show. There was a red carpet and a Union Jack set up in the ring. He was there to kind of host, apparently, a talking segment. Because if 205 Live was not already enough, you know, boring as hell and like every other main roster TV show that WWE puts out, why not kick off the show with a 10 or 15 minute talking segment? Anyway, the crowd chanted Jackie Boy, because obviously it's, I don't know necessarily how close Jack Gallagher was, to London growing up or whatever, but he's obviously a native Englishman, so the crowd was very receptive to him. Recall TJP attacking him after his match and then being saved by Austin Aries, and so he asked Aries out to join him in the ring. Aries did. He came out with a banana in hand. Actually, he was eating said banana. He was not just holding it. And then once he was finished, of course, he threw his peel out into the crowd, as he is wont to do. Once he got in the ring, he was thanked by Gallagher for saving him the previous night, and Gallagher offered him a toast. Aries said that wasn't necessary, a simple thanks would suffice. After all, TJP and Neville had attacked him as well. Gallagher noted that, Austin, you know, everybody knows you're known for such humility, which he, on screen, was not playing it tongue-in-cheek, but anybody who knows anything about Austin Aries knows that that is a very, very funny comment. Anyway, he insisted on a toast to Aries, regardless of whether Aries wanted it or not, called for a ringside attendant to deliver 2 pints. As Aries noted, he's usually a red wine guy, not a beer drinker, and the crowd booed that. But Gallagher's like, you know, calm down, he's a nice guy, and he vowed wine the next time, and insisted on a pint, as it is a British tradition, apparently. The two toasted just as they began to drink, and Gallagher began to sing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow. Neville's pyro music hit, and actually Gallagher sold it big. It scared everyone in the arena, but Gallagher, I think, like shrieked or yelled or something like that. I don't remember exactly what he did, but Gallagher sold it well. Neville came out and said, "You know, Gallagher, I've always viewed you as an insulting stereotype of what a British person is, but now that I'm back here in England, I see that everyone has become just a parody of themselves." He questioned the crowd's dignity, his country's dignity, and Aries piped up and questioned Neville's dignity after getting himself intentionally disqualified in their Cruiserweight title match. What was that, a Payback or Backlash? I can't keep track of these pay-per-views. It was not Great Balls of Fire, I know that. Neville said that Aries has had two opportunities, and yet Neville still stands as the king of the Cruiserweights. He offered a toast of his own, but this one's the last appearance of Austin Aries on 205 Live. And just as he raised his hand in a toast, TJP ran in the ring and clipped Austin Aries' bad knee from behind. TJP then dropped Gallagher, and Neville hit the ring, and TJP and Neville began to beat up the babyfaces. Aries made a comeback for the babyfaces, tossed Neville over the announce table and leapt onto him, began to beat him up. Gallagher isolated TJ in the ring, spat beer into TJ's eyes, leveled him with the headbutt, just that like straight soccer ball headbutt, or soccer headbutt that he does. Neville ran in, looked to attack Gallagher, but he was quickly knocked out by Aries' rolling forearm. And the heels went out in retreat. Gallagher retrieved the two pints that were waiting for them at ringside. He and Aries finished their toast and had the drink. That was the close of the segment. The babyface is celebrating and the heels kind of retreating up the ramp. So, I don't know. As far as like a brawl, the intensity was good. I you know, that part was fine. The physicality of it and the pairing's fine. But it's just like, my God, like, I want to. The Cruiserweight should be about like all action, not you know, no selling. Too fast to register, but it should be like all about action and little guys who can do amazing things that big guys can't do. It shouldn't be about little guys going out there and doing the same, you know, 10-15 minute opening show promos that they're doing on every main roster show. It's not necessary. It's a trope that WWE writers have fallen into. I don't know who's in charge of, like, you know, you got to be able to point the finger of blame at like the top level production people, because really it's like certain people who have their hands on Raw, SmackDown, Main Event, and 205 Live, who don't necessarily have their hands in NXT, in Cruiserweight Classic Tournament when that took place, the UK Championship Tournament, you know, things like that. It's like the difference is so tangible. It's so noticeable. And I don't know, as soon as 205 Live got to the main roster and they started doing boring matches and things like this, it's just like, oh God, is even if it's a decent segment, it's like, it's just not what 205 Live needs to be. Anyway, we went backstage. Rich Swann was walking and he came upon Noam Dar and Alicia Fox standing in a corridor. Questioned how Dar could still be with Alicia Fox. And Dar blamed it all on Swann, said he interfered with their beautiful relationship. Alicia Fox said, "Yeah, it's not like I really kicked Noam Dar to the curb. Not like I did to you and Cedric Alexander." Which, yeah, I guess it would be laughable if I cared at all about this story. Swann said that they deserve each other, and he tried to walk away, but then Dar stopped him, and he just said, "You know, me and Alicia haven't forgotten what you did to us, and so you're also going to be getting what you deserve. So this program must continue." God. You know what? Honestly, I will not be watching 205 Live going forward, so I don't care. I'm over it. Back in the arena, Tony Nese made his entrance, and Mustafa Ali was out next. We were probably like halfway through the show at this point, and the first match was taking place. Decent match, though. I really enjoyed this. I've mentioned this in previous weeks on Members Audio. If nothing else between this silly Drew Gulak and Mustafa Ali storyline, speaking of which, we didn't really see any Drew Gulak on the show, did we? Anyway, between with the Drew Gulak no high flying shtick, it's like, if anything, it's getting Mustafa Ali to do more fun high flying offense. So it's like, yeah, I'm fine with that. Between Nice and Ali, Ali hit a big, huge flip dive over the ropes to wipe Nice out in the opening couple of minutes. But then Nice took control a short time later and just did a bunch of power offense that he does. He does like a deadlift, delayed vertical suplex, and then drops the guy across the top rope. That's like his new big taking the heat move. Ali then reversed a super bomb, which is like a top rope power bomb, into a big top rope Frankensteiner, and began to pick up momentum and just started rolling with offense. No pun intended, because he did his front roll into a neck breaker. Hit a big running Rana from the ring apron onto Nice at ringside, got back in the ring with a big crossbody for a two count. Hit a big diving tornado DDT and then put Nice away. at 10:45 with the 450 imploding 450 splash. Good match, like I noted. It was nothing stand out, like nothing memorable, but this was definitely along the lines of what I expect when I hear of a cruiserweight division and a cruiserweight themed show. This match was fun paced, some good high spots. I just enjoyed it. Thought it was a solid, good, fun to watch match. We went backstage. Ari Daivari was chewing out some guy for not adequately shining his boots, and then refused the guy payment. Daivari then walked off, and he almost walked into Akira Tozawa. Blamed Tozawa for almost getting grease on him. Tozawa then started just going ah ah ah, and Daivari just walked away. So, yeah, apparently maybe that'll be a match, or maybe it was just a weird thing that they did. I don't know. I couldn't care less. It's 205 Live, and I'm done. A Cedric Alexander return vignette aired, so there's kind of a little bright spot. It's just too bad he has to come back onto this show, like bring him back on NXT or somewhere where he might be utilized somewhat effectively and not, I would imagine he's probably going to be worked into the storyline probably immediately with Rich Swann and Noam Dar and Alicia Fox, which, God, have mercy. We came back into the arena. It was main event time as Brian Kendrick and Akira Tozawa made their entrances. Tozawa came out firing early. You know, him and Kendrick have been feuding for a while. They haven't really been able to take it out on each other in a match just yet, so Tozawa was physical early on. He went out of the ring in pursuit of Kendrick, but that allowed Kendrick to take control, hit a sliced bread at ringside, and almost got the countout win very early on, but Tozawa managed to get back in the ring. It was all Kendrick from there in Brian Kendrick pace mode. A little while later, Tozawa fought back, hit a suicide diver on the six-minute mark, Shining Wizard for a two count in the ring. Kendrick regained control and got in the captain's hook. I actually got it in a couple times, but both times Akira Tozawa was able to fight out. The final time, Kendrick looked for sliced bread, but Tozawa managed to... It's not like he really even slipped behind him like I wrote. It's almost like he kind of rolled through the bump a little bit. Like, he almost took the bump like on his own, but then rolled through and hooked Brian Kendrick in some kind of cradle and got the upset surprise, not the upset win, but the surprise pinfall out of nowhere, shy of the 10-minute mark. And but immediately after the bell, Tozawa had no time to even, you know, register his win. Kendrick was all over him, beating him up. Took the fight out to ringside, beat him up out there. Did this weak-looking thing where he looks like he was trying to do a side Russian leg sweep and sweep Tozawa back first into the ring steps. Just looked really, really poor. He did it like two or three times. Not a good-looking spot. And then Kendrick pinned Tozawa between the top and the bottom parts of the ring steps. Beat on him a little bit, but I don't know. A lot of times guys will do like one real big impactful thing where it's like, you know, you put the guy on the steps and then you pretend to crush him or his arm or something like that with the top ring step. Or you put him under there and you hit it with a chair. And even though it's like ridiculous, it's like, you know, it sounds good and it's whatever. Kendrick looked like he pinned Tozawa and then like he was struggling to figure out something he could do to not actually kill Tozawa. You know, like I can't put it on their size, but like maybe, you know, when you have a guy like Braun Strowman or Roman Reigns picking up those ring steps and smashing each other with them, there's a little bit more control than if you've got a guy like Brian Kendrick picking him up and trying not to, you know, like smash Akira Tozawa to smithereens with those ring steps. Like I know they're not heavy, but I'm sure they could do some real damage. That diamond cut steel or whatever, diamond plate steel, it's like, yeah, that could do some real damage. So I guess I could understand it. But at the same time, it looked a little bit awkward. I wish they would have had something a little bit, just a little bit more impactful worked out. But, you know, it was what it was. It was just kind of the first official, you know, I cannot say the first official step, like the first official match in this program that they've been taking steps towards. Again, this program that Akira Tozawa would needed like he needed like he needs a hole in the head, and Brian Kendrick, you know, just the fact that he's main eventing 205 Live regularly is just kind of the epitome of everything that I'm talking about being wrong with 205 Live in terms of just the character of the show. If you want to have a Brian Kendrick on the show, that's fine, but if you want to have a show full of the Brian Kendricks and Ari Daivari, master of the nerve holds, and you know, just I don't know, 205 Live just so badly needs its own identity that's about action and cruiserweights and high-flying and stuff that you're not going to see anywhere else in a hybrid of styles where you'll see some lucha worked into some strong style, worked into some... All different guys bring their styles to the table and it meshes or clashes. That's what I expected and we got from the Cruiserweight Classic. It's what I optimistically hoped for from 205 Live, but knew that once it got up to the main roster, it wasn't going to be there, and it's not. I took over this coverage with the hope that, like, you know, maybe during my time covering it, they would start to figure out their identity and kind of move towards that, but they just have not. If anything else, they've really kind of just settled into a very, like, sixth or seventh hour of main roster television identity, where it's just like, none of this matters. These storylines are stupid. The wrestlers are working at a reserved pace. You know, there's some really talented guys on the show, and it's unfortunate that they're not getting to do what they're able to do. And the crowds are responding accordingly. It's like, it's not just because it's after a 2 hour SmackDown taping that these crowds are dead. It's like, these guys have been in front of the crowds for a long time now. By this point in the women's revolution, so to speak, the crowds were responding to the women. The crowds are not responding to the cruiserweights because the cruiserweights don't do anything worth responding to. And that's the biggest problem with 205 Live and the cruiserweight division's identity. And until they do something to address that, which unfortunately I don't really have any faith in them to do, the show is just going to kind of be what it is, and that's unfortunate. So I don't know. Good riddance, 205 Live. Quite frankly, if I can a little peek behind the curtains to the .net way of thinking here, is like, 205 Live sucks so bad that we're kind of questioning like whether or not we're gonna do coverage of it going forward. Like, we don't do main event coverage because who gives a? Well, that's not fair because I guess lately there've been some decent things on main event with like Grand Metalik and stuff like that. But like, I don't know. Does it matter? Does anything on 205 Live matter? No. If anything matters, it's going to happen on Raw, like with the Cruiserweight division. It's going to be spotlighted on Raw and on the pay-per-views, so we'll see it there. So it's like, why does 205 Live matter? Answer, it doesn't. Because of that, I will be back on NXT next week where, you know, people have their gripes, their complaints. Oh, it's just a pretty boring hour. It's just squashes. It's nothing special. But you know what it is? It's competent. It's effective. You don't get bogged down in stupid storylines like you get on 205 Live. You don't get bogged down in the stupid main roster tropes that you get bogged down in 205 Live. The wrestlers get to work a little bit higher intensity when it calls for it, which, you know, I guess maybe in big match pay-per-views you get from the cruiserweights, but you just really don't get that on the reg from the cruiserweights. So yeah, say what you will about NXT, but like, try watching NXT weekly and watch 205 Live weekly, and then try to make that statement that one is not considerably better and easier to watch and more unique and enjoyable than the other one. More fresh feeling, more turnover, things coming in, going out, changes being made. It's just, there's so much more going on in NXT, so I'm really looking forward to being back on that next week, and hopefully you will all join me as I regain my post there. Don't know that my coverage will be all access next week, so like I said, head over to prowrestling.net, check out that membership, that way you can keep up with all things, well, me, and the site, of course. But yeah, well, that's gonna do it for me, everyone. I hope you enjoy your week, and hey, if you're graduating this week, which is probably a small group of people that I'm talking to, but like, it's senior week for a lot of people, and a lot of my friends are going through that right now, so congratulations, that's like a really big deal. So thumbs up to you, all the best going forward, and I'll talk to y'all again next week. Take care.